Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as your people, as your children, as your new nation here in this world, Father, we pray, God, that you would guide us in our lives as examples to the world outside of us, Lord, that we would not just be busybodies always seeking to do things, but Lord, also help us to not be lazy either. Help us, Father, to work with purpose and to rest in your Son for the sake of our witness to the world, for the sake of our souls, and for the sake of remembering who we are in your Son and what he has done for us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I remember getting my undergraduate degree at the University of Nevada. I took an earth science course by second to last semester before I graduated. And at that point in time, I was working about 32 hours a week. And I had just taken a course load of about 12 credits, four classes. And I had four finals in 3 days. And I had three of those finals were in the afternoon, going into the evening. And my very first final the next day was at about 9 in the morning. And my brain was done. For whatever reason, whether it was by the grace of God, or just simply having, or both, simply having a very, having a professor with some TAs that were very friendly, and for whatever reason, we got to know each other a little bit more during that year. I think that they thought that interesting that a kid who was thinking about becoming a pastor was in an earth science course, perhaps. I don't know. But the professor, when he handed out the course syllabus, said, "This is what we're going to do. You have three exams other than your final exam. Your worst exam out of those first three, we're going to drop three. And we're not going to count that against your grade. So you can have one bad exam, and we'll raise the other three up." And not to brag about myself, but I happened to just do very well in that course. And the professor and his TA started to notice this glazed look over my eyes and this tired look that I was had at the final. And they were looking at me. And the professor actually came up to me and said, "Are you doing okay?" And I said, "Sorry, professor, I'm fine. I'm in a complete total brain funk. I worked last night. I had three finals. Yesterday my brain is just not clicking this morning." He's like, "Okay, well, if you need a little bit more time, that's fine." And then something came over me, and I just waved the idea. I just waved to him, and I just said, "Look, I'm going to do the best that I can on this, but would you be willing to allow this to be the test that you drop, since I did well on the other three?" And he says, "You know what? Let's see how you do, but yes, I'm willing to do that since you've been a good student." So I got some grace there. I got some grace there. But no matter how hard we work, and sometimes we go through life where we are busier than other times, and there are so many things that are required of us that we need to do and that we must do. Some of those things are, whether it's just the law. Our government doesn't care if you've been really busy or you had a bad month income-wise. When your car registration is due at the DMV, you got to pay that. Sorry, no ifs, ands, or buts. The money's got to be there. Your boss who's signing the paycheck, he has an expectation of you to get X, Y, and Z done. Sorry, but that's just the way that it is, right? There are certain rules that we live by all the time. And sometimes we kind of appreciate those things. And sometimes, I can tell you, as a parent, sometimes I wish that I didn't have to repeat myself multiple times. I said it, do it, please. Get it done. But as all these things add up, and sometimes things that we can't even control, sometimes we're busy in our lives, and oh my goodness, a cold comes on, or maybe even something worse, like a cancer, or something else comes and interrupts our lives. And life does indeed give us more than we can handle. This is where having our faith in Jesus and understanding what He does for us as His people, as His Christians, understanding this is where we can just rest in His grace and who He is. In our Old Testament lesson today, we went all the way back to Abraham, Father Abraham, who had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Abraham was visited by three men. And maybe you picked up in the text that one of them was called Lord. The Lord spoke through one of these men. What this means is that God appeared as a man with those other visitors to talk to Abraham. This was our Lord Jesus before He actually became a man. And He appeared to Abraham, and He was going to tell Abraham that he was going to be a father in about a year. Sarah was going to give, his wife Sarah was going to give birth to a son. But before all that happened, Abraham went to his wife Sarah and said, "Get busy. We have some guests. It's time to, you know, get the flour together. Let's make some cakes for them." And he had one of his other servants go and sacrifice, or not sacrifice, but cook a really nice calf, just to get some tender meat going on there. I mean, Abraham knew how to host. I would have loved to have gone to his cookout there. He worked hard to serve his Lord in that instance. Fast forward to when Jesus was incarnate as a man. He came into a town. He visited two women that we know well. Martha and her sister Mary. No. And we've heard this story many times, right? Many of you who have been members of this church, this story comes up. It is a memorable one. Martha is busy and she's working herself hard. And her sister is just sitting there at the feet of Jesus doing nothing. Or so it seems she might be doing nothing. But those of us who want to be busy, right, and we want to serve, Jesus is confronted by Martha, and Martha says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Now, was it wrong of Abraham and Sarah's servants to prepare a nice meal for the Lord and to be good and gracious hosts when the Lord had visited? Is it good to be a gracious host when you have guests visit? In fact, there's that famous passage in the Bible too that says, "Be kind and welcome your visitors because you might be entertaining angels unaware." So an angel could appear. Maybe he's taking account of how you're doing for the Lord, right? It's not bad to serve. In fact, we shouldn't be lazy. The Bible does not promote laziness. In fact, as Christian people, we are surrounded by good people with wonderful hearts who are willing to serve. And it is not for us to just sit back and let them serve us while we don't do anything at all. We don't want to take advantage of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ's gracious service. We don't want to take advantage of that. In fact, it got so bad in the church of Thessalonica, Paul wrote to them, "If you do not work, you do not eat." So, being lazy is not a fruit of the Spirit. But also, being a constant busybody and being so busy that you miss the point of what this whole thing about being the church is about, that's not good either. In fact, the devil wants us to be busy. The devil wants us to be overwhelmed. He wants us to be distracted. He wants your self-worth to be, how does my house look like today? Is it clean enough? What did I accomplish today? What did I get done? Did I get done anything of importance or of value? And he wants your well-being in your mind to set on, did you do anything good? Or he wants you to, or if you do take a day to just rest and quote-unquote veg, he will remind you about how lazy you actually are and make you feel guilty about it and take away that rest that you actually do need. Because why is it that God made us creatures that need sleep? Obviously, we need to sit back and rest. Why is it that God separated the night from the day? Not necessarily for us to be night owls all the time and party animals and go to clubs, right? He gave us the night so that we could sleep and rest. Furthermore, this is a really interesting, I find this true of prayer too. How when God commands us to pray, God made a commandment. And it was this: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's a law. That's a command. And yet, it's also an invitation. There's a paradox. One thing that I'm going to encourage you all, because I know that there's going to be some days where you're not here, and when you tell me that you're not going to be here, just one thing that I'm going to tell you lovingly. If you say, "Pastor, I haven't been to church because I've just been so busy," I might just gently remind you that that is a problem of spiritual warfare. Busy. Being under Satan's yoke. Rest. And rest in Jesus. Rest in our Lord is foundational to our life. When you played your sports, some of you might still play a sport. When you were out active, when you're out working in the yard still, sometimes you gotta stop for a moment and take a few extra breaths to catch your breath, right? You gotta breathe. You gotta sleep. You gotta eat. You have to refresh yourself, right? But remember also that we were created in the image of God, because God loves us. And he put us and he put Adam and Eve in a garden to dwell with him. Foundationally and fundamentally, our lives are to be in a relationship with God. So if you're making yourself so busy, if your joy is in accomplishing things and getting the to-do list done all the time, if your joy is in trying to say, I want people to look at me and say, boy, I was a really valuable employee, or I want I'm guilty of this sin, I want a good pat on the back from my spouse. If our joy is in how others perceive us, even though we want to love them and serve our neighbor, this is that tough paradox, that tension. If our joy is looking good and working hard because we want to be seen as that hard worker, we're going to eventually be disappointed. And we're going to be disappointed in ourselves, and we're going to be disappointed in how others receive us. Also, we might miss out on the grace that God has for us and forget that God doesn't see us. He doesn't see the value in us of what we've gotten to do, of what we've gotten done or what we do. In fact, sometimes if we're honest, when we look at our sheer motivation for why we do things, and we look at the bad things that we've done, God would not be pleased with our works. And that's exactly why God sent his Son into our lives. To give rest to our poor souls that want to run away from God, that want to run into the world, and a world that actually ends up leading us more tired and beaten up than before. A world that tells us lies constantly of, hey, you need this to be happy. Don't you deserve to buy this new car? Don't you deserve the spa when you come home? Don't you deserve all this kind of stuff? And you fill your life with more things and all this kind of stuff. Then it will say, oh, don't you deserve to have this wonderful feast and all this food before you? And then it will then show you later on that, oh, don't you feel bad because now you need to lose all this weight, right? It'll twist you around back and forth. That's what our world does. Right? There's two kingdoms at work here. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of Satan. Satan wants to set you up and break you down. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And you made a choice today. You answered the call to God to be here and to be reminded that God doesn't see you as the person who gets things done. But he sees you as his beloved child. Because Jesus came to set you free. So that you could be children of God. Mary chose the good portion at that point in time. The Savior was there in her house. And she took the time to be present, to learn from Jesus. Martha, that's fine with what you're doing. You're fine working. But you are making yourself so anxious over many things. And you're missing the point. The point of our service is to share the love of God. Even at work, in your own vocations, your day-to-day life, when you show up to work, sometimes, yes, the customers can be a drag. Your boss can be a drag. But if you realize that, man, I love God, He's done so much for me, I want to love my neighbor as myself. And sometimes the best way to do that is to just be, is to do the best work that I possibly can, what I'm supposed to do. There's that old adage that the Christian shoemaker doesn't show that he's a Christian by putting a cross in every shoe that he makes. But rather, he shows that he's a Christian by making the best shoes that he could possibly make. We are able to actually serve and love when we have joy. And that joy comes from our Lord Jesus. And I tell you that I could probably preach this sermon to myself about once or twice a week. Because one of the biggest struggles that I have in my life is remembering that my life is not my to-do list and all the things that I have to get done. But the reason why I'm doing those things is because God has blessed me with wonderful people to love. Thanks be to God that I get to be a husband. Thanks be to God that I get to be a father. Thanks be to God that I get to be a pastor. Thanks be to God that my name is written in the book of life. Because Jesus said something here that's so important for us to remember. He says, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will never be taken away from her. At some point in time, you are not going to be able to work as hard. That is the blessing of aging, right? At some point in time, you're going to lose things in your life. But as far as your faith is concerned, none can take you out of the hand of your Savior. He is with you forever and ever. And He loves you. And He promises that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So you can cast all your cares upon Him. Instead of beating yourself up with anxiety, you can pray about Him. Instead of stewing for the whole day, or for a week, or for a month, or for something that you have no control over, you can give it to God in prayer and trust that He who set the heavens in motion, He who causes the earth to spin around the sun, He who causes the sun to rise and set as that earth spins, He is in control. And how do we know that God is good and for you? Because even when you were a sinner, He sent His Son to die and to rise for you. And so, yes, Sunday is a day of rest and gladness as we come together as God's people and are reminded of who Jesus Christ is. But you can take that time every day, that moment, to stop and pray. Have that Sabbath rest with your God, your Father, every day. It doesn't have to be just Sundays. And remember that you are saved by grace through faith. You are a beloved child of God. And that is who you are. Not your to-do list, but you are a child of God because of what Jesus has done for you. Amen.
Amen.
To the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen.